So I pray, first of all, Father God, come to glorify your name, Father. Lord, that word that you've given me, Lord, would just come forth through the Spirit, Father. Lord, that I can humble myself, Father, to be filled up by you. Lord, that I love you so much, Father God. Lord, that as we journey together, Father, that we'll be richer by your word, Father. That we'll go deeper with you, Lord. Lord, hear my prayer for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Linda, before I start, we've just been singing your wonderful song, Walking with Jesus.
Oh.
And you missed it. But never mind. You were in my thoughts and prayers when I was singing. I've just received a lovely letter of Rebecca. If I can read it properly, I'm not sure, but it says, Church has made my life is now better. A holy name, holy place, holy spirit, a holy God. Jesus loves me. God loves me. I love God and Jesus. Church is better for me. How my life has changed. From Rebecca. And I'm sure that song, that you're going, yes, I'm in there. So thank you for that, Rebecca. Humbling and thank you from the heart. Bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you. I just want to thank my awesome Father for his purpose, his plan, and his provision. A few months ago now, when I was asked to take over as the overseas secretary, one role that I really particularly didn't want to do, but the door opened, so I stepped through it by faith, and he gave me these three words that's been constantly going on in me. If you haven't heard it already from us, some people will be fed up with it, but anyway, it's purpose, plan, and provision. What a God we serve. What a God, his purpose, his plan, and his provision. You know, Val was just saying about look outside, you know, the provision he gives to us on this earth is just awesome. And when I became a born again believer, just as I was going to go through the waters of baptism, God really flooded me with Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is one of the scriptures he gave me, now with all my heart. We've been doing a Bible study about heart, and we've been looking at, you know, negativity of the heart, but also, you know, what God provides for us, positive actions of our heart. So little did I know God's plans and the journey that I've been on. You know, we all come to God differently. You know, some of us come through the word, as is written in scripture. Some of us come through music and dance. I mean, I came through music and listening to the worship songs on a CD. I love music, and I used to listen to the charts and know all of the melodies, and music has really made a difference. I was never a reader. I would be too impatient to read a book or read anything because I would want to know the end. And what a journey I've been on with God, because I have to walk day by day with him. His purpose and his plan, his provision, I have to trust in him completely. So, you know, the word purpose means in the dictionary can guide life decisions. It can influence behaviour, shape goals, and offer a sense of direction and create meaning. Purpose. But you know, before the world even began, God's purpose and plan and his provision was there. You know, sometimes our purpose in life and the meaning of our existence, sometimes without knowing, we suffer ignorantly and without significance. We fall prey to listening to negative words spoken at us. We have the illusion our lives don't matter. We have no connection or impact to the world around us. God has a purpose, has a plan, and has a provision for each and every one of us. For all of humanity, you know, we're brought up with school, with parents, with friends, and some people really speak negatively over her. I've been prey to that. I'm sure many of what here have. You know, I didn't like being tall. I didn't want to be a girl. My father wanted a boy. So I was brought up resting on a Sunday morning on the floor with my father. And to toughen us up. But I wasn't a tough person. Very shy. Very quiet. But I loved to observe people. I loved to come around people and watch what their needs were. So when I went into hairdressing and was in people's personal space, you have to speak to them. You're in that space. I don't know about you, but if somebody comes really up close to me and I don't know who they are, I'm sort of thinking, that's my space. Can you just step out of there? Very impersonal. So chatting, you know, you've all heard the jokes about hairdressers. Are you going on holiday? Where have you been? What you're doing. But actually it breaks down barriers, and before you know it, you're talking to somebody and they just flood the life in front of you. So not only do you become the hairdresser, you become the counsellor. You become the listener. You become somebody who can help them when they're crying, help them when they're laughing. And so the time doing the hairdressing wasn't really something I wanted to do. My mum said, go out there and get a job. I was 30. Go out there and don't come back and get a job. Because you're 30 now. So I thought, oh, my God. And my mum had always wanted to be a hairdresser, but she couldn't afford the apprenticeships at the time. You had to pay for apprenticeships. So she used to just go on a bike doing people's hair. So she obviously pushed me and my sister both in that direction. And so I came home and I had a job. And so that was the start of that journey of going in to do people's hairs. To be honest, I would rather, I was full of athletics, full of netball, full of sport. I would have preferred to have gone into a teacher, PE teacher. I mean, my home teacher at school wanted us to go down that journey. But my mum said, no, she's got a job. She's got an apprenticeship. Go down that road. So I was in hairdressing for many years. And learning the craft, little did I know, I was learning to communicate. I was learning to listen. I was really learning in a training round what God had planned for me. Little did I know where God would take. But you know, the journey that I was on, I had to leave that profession through problems in my shoulders and my back and my joints. And you know, never feeling as if I was good enough. And then I went into sales, and I remember getting a job, it's now called John Lewis, but it was Bainbridge's. And with the training track I had with hairdressing, sales was an option to go down. So I thought, right, that's an avenue I can talk to people, I can see their needs. Without even trying, you know, observing people, looking at their needs. So I went there, and I went for the position that was offered. But she said, oh, we'll put you on temporary contract. I think, oh, temporary? I'm better than that, I can have a full-time contract. But no, I went in through the side door, the back door. It's a temporary contract to John Lewis, that was used to be Bainbridge's. And I just loved talking to people. They would come in, spend a lot of money. I would take them, I got wrong for taking them off my department because I was showing them hats and shoes and everything. Because I wanted to do a service what they wanted for that day. I was told off because I couldn't leave my section, which was the clothing. I couldn't take them to the shoes. I couldn't take them to the hats. So anyway, I was bringing a lot of money in, and then decided, wait a minute, we might give her a permanent position. So she brought us in the office. And I'll never forget these words because it started me on a journey of real insecurity. She says, can you tone down? And I says, tone down. She says, because when I come out in the morning, I look at my department, the first thing I can see is you. I'm thinking, well, I'm 5'8", I'm blonde. And the words really resonated right inside of me, and I'm thinking, you can have this permanent position if you tone down. So I went home and I'm thinking, I've never watched Coronation Street, but I knew there used to be a barmaid in there called Bet Lynch. So I felt as if I was this, perceived to be this person that I thought looked a bit brash, looked a bit, you know, big earrings. I didn't wear big earrings. Then there was another lady on the department further up who was a goth. She had black hair, she had piercing, she had everything. I think, I've got it torn down. So I went home, decided to put my hair up in a knot, asked my mum if she had pearl earrings, tried to dress, went just normally. And I thought, you know, I couldn't do my job because I couldn't be who I was. I wanted to be somebody else. So that was a transformation for me, and I thought, no, I'm going to leave. It really destroyed me, these negative comments within me. So I sort of stepped back and I wrote a letter. I thought, I'm not going back. And I said to the, in the letter, I said, if I had come in through the front door, it might have been different. But the way I was brought in through the back door and then felt as if I was never good enough, really resonated in me. So these negative thoughts that I had, on that journey after that, I went upstairs and cut all my hair off. I came down and I had very short hair. These are things that people can say to us and do to us in our lifetime that we really think negatively, but we have purpose, a plan and provision. All of those negativity words that were spoken over me, I send them back with a pit of hell in Jesus' name. Because all of that training ground was a building ground. Little did I know that I would be standing here today talking about God's word to you, brothers and sisters, who I love dearly. So, you know, and unlike Brexit, God has a purpose, a plan, and provision. I had to get that one in. You know, I had to get that in because, you know, I think even in heaven, when we were discussing who was going to come down to rescue us, between God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, they had a backup plan. You know, Jesus, hey, they're going to mess up. It's going to be me that's going to go down. I'll do that because I love them so much. You know, the plan was there. It was a perfect plan. The purpose, the provision. You know, God doesn't need us. We need him. He wants us to fellowship with him. Our purpose in life is to glorify the Father, right? To worship in an intimate relationship with him. Adam and Eve in the garden, he wanted relationship with him. He wanted to be with him. He wanted to just love them. He wanted to give them everything. The wonderful Garden of Eden. Perfect.
Yes.
But never mind, we know what happened there, you know. In Genesis 3:8-11 says the eyes of both of them opened. They were naked. And they sewed fig leaves. Now, when I looked at that, sewed fig leaves, I thought, well, obviously God had given them the provision to sew them, the fig leaves, and make themselves coverings. And they heard, right, the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God among the trees in the, of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said, where are you going? Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. And I was afraid, because I was naked. I hid myself, he said. Who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I command you not to? You see, as soon as their eyes were open, they became spiritually dead. God is spirit. We are made from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into us. So he saw, you know, the spiritual was dead. The intimacy had gone. No longer could they hear him in the sound of the garden, because they were banned. You know, and you've got to look at that scripture, because actually that scripture has been taken out of distort many, many times, because they weren't walking in the garden of God. They heard him in the garden. You know, we'll talk about, and I've got no doubt they did walk, but in that scripture particularly, they didn't walk with the God in the garden. They heard him, right? And God knew that something had changed, something had happened. So they became spiritually dead. That intimacy and that trust was broken. And we would have to wait a long time through our humanity for to have that intimate relationship with God again. But you know, he provided. He had the perfect plan, and the perfect provision in our Lord Jesus Christ. He provided the way that we can come to the holies of holies directly through the Lamb of God. You know, and God told Adam in Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you should eat all the days of your life. Now listen to this. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb and of the field, and the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it where you are taken for dust. You know, let us take a look at the minute at the word curse. Because it very clearly tells me and that curse was thorns. And what did Jesus have on his head when he came to the cross? Was a crown of thorns. He took the curse. Not only did he take the sin, he took the curse of mankind on him. Right? He took it all. It was there, and he had it placed on his head for us. You know, when I think of those thorns being driven into his head, it's just, you know, horrific. So do we understand that God moved time and space to come as a babe in flesh to us, to give us his ultimate plan, to give us his provision. You know, that was the purpose there. Because we had lost intimacy with the Father, the Son came to bring that intimacy with him again. So our eyes could be spiritual once more. So we could have that perfect union with him rather than be dead in the flesh, because we were dead in the flesh. God spoken through Isaiah and the prophets, you know, every word God has spoken is for a purpose, a plan, provision. It doesn't tell you anything if he's not going to provide it. It doesn't tell you anything if he's not going to finish it. So in all of the word, Jesus is the gold thread that runs right way through the Old Testament to the New. He binds it. He is everything and all things. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Spirit do nothing without each other. No one can go and do something on their own. They all have a plan and a purpose, and they all collectively are together. And when he spoke to Isaiah, he said, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my counsel will stand. I will accomplish all my purpose. All purpose. Not just a little bit, and that's Isaiah 46:10. God wants us to have everything. He's provided everything. Do we really take time to have a health check? To have a spiritual check? We put our cars in for NOT. We go to the dentist to have a checkup. We go, you know, we get checked up. Do we really sit back and see what is the purpose, the plan, the vision for my life? What God has done for us? We need to be constantly checking. I go to the dentist every 6 months. My car goes in for an MOT. When have you stopped and thought, wait a minute, where am I? Where am I spiritually? Where's my plan? Where's my purpose? Where's the provision that God has given to me? What am I doing with it? Am I burying it in the ground, like a talent? Or am I using it as gifts that's been given? You know, he gives us Proverbs. Was one of the books when I first just became a Christian. I wanted to understand. I wanted to just be soaked in it. It is the provision for life in Proverbs. You know, the key word's wisdom. To live skillfully. A godly life in an ungodly world. You know, to deal successfully in practical affairs. You know, God relates parents, children, neighbours, government. You know, Solomon didn't just use one way of communicating. He did poetry, you know. He did parables, he did stories. You know, he was doing to reach all of them. Because what reaches one person doesn't reach somebody else. We've got to understand we're not in a box. We've got to not understand we're not cloned. We have got to understand we are unique in a personal relationship in him. He resides in us. He is with us, but uniquely to you. He knows every hair on your head. You know, believe you me, I know about hair. As much as my son doesn't think I do. You know, it takes 3 stages for a hair growth in my hair. You know, each uniquely 3 stages. Growth. And then it stays dormant for a while, and then falls. What, these take about 7 years. What, 7 years? For each hair on my head to grow, to have strength, to fall. So, you know, God provides these uniqueness that he gives us as a purpose, his plan, his provision. By the time you go out here, you'll be seeing those three words constantly, you know. And Jesus is the word. If we don't know that by now, well, you really need to grasp that. You know, in the Greek, it's called logos. And it means a giving a form and meaning. Jesus came in a form as a child to give us an intimate relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. You know, we really need to understand the fullness of the words, because in Greek, it's so much fuller than just in our English terms. But the logos and the words, now rhema in Greek, R-H-E-M, signifies the utterance of God's spoken word into each of our hearts. Each in our hearts, he speaks utterance into us, right? And when we've come to the harvest, we have to say something about seed. And the next part of my sermon is about seed. Now in the Greek, seed is called sperma. My husband didn't even know that, so there you are. So we get our English word of sperm from Greek, which is sperma, which is this seed. You know, the seed of life, the seed of everything, you know. And it's marvellous when you think, because even in the Old Testament, men and women were married, but the woman was barren. You know, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, and they called out to them. God opened the womb, and but on from those children of promise, he moved mountains. You know, he gave so much to them to make his word known amongst men. These were people, you know, children given by the seed of God to make a mighty work of his plan and his purpose. You know, it wasn't just, well, I'll open that womb and give them a child because they asked for it. You know, we have to be understanding why God does things, and this is only through the word of God. You know, Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Lord's purpose, right? God's divine power has given us everything we need to live a truly rich life. Through our knowledge of the one who called us to share his own glory and goodness. In this way, he has given us a very great, precious gift. He promised so that by means of this gift, you may escape from the corruption of the world. We've just sang, hiding, you know, hiding place. We can escape, you know, with all of the gifts he has given us in him. And we come to share in his divine nature. You know, and this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. To goodness, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, endurance. To endurance, add godliness. To godliness, add Christian affection. And to your Christian affection, add love. These are the qualities that you need. If you have them in abundance, they will make you active and effective in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1:3 in 8. These are words of God. I haven't just picked them out of anywhere. These are rich seeds of words of God that he's given to us. Now, we need to stop chasing after the version of ourselves that will only interfere with becoming the person God intends us to be. So we need to stop chasing after what we think we should be doing, after what we think we could be carrying on doing. We should really stop and check, right, the purpose, the plan, the vision God has for each and every one of us. Because we've been given gifts, as Paul says, in abundance, you know, to be used, to come to him and share in his inheritance, to share in everything that he has. What matters to God is who we are. Not what we do, it's who we are. He looks in our heart. He alone has given us seeds, right? Now, the seeds are his word. Our heart is being prepared, right, for his seeds to be implanted, to be used for his time and his glory. God prepares men and women as we're looking at the heart in our Bible studies. All I can say as he has my heart, Lord, and speak what is true. Let us not spend our time and energy living up to our potential. Let us grow in the person that God wants us to be. Let us be free to live and love with a fullness of joy. Fullness, not even a little bit. This is a good one. Don't let your best self lie dormant.
Amen.
Don't let your best self lie dormant. Realize that God wants to empower you to live a full and potential life on this earth now. You know, don't let your best self lie dormant. And we can sometimes do that, don't we, in my life, in my daily struggles, and I think, oh, I can't be bothered. No more than me. A seed in the darkest soil needs watering, it needs nurturing. And in the correct season, it will burst forth. Now, that's not in the season, you know, that we think. The only way to do so is in God's Holy Spirit flowing through you, like a river of living water, and makes you and those you relate to flourish. So what you do with your gifts and your seed makes other people flourish. So don't keep it and lie dormant. We have to be willing to be giving out and giving it to people. You know, keep in mind the activities you enjoy. You know, Val likes dance. I love music. Catherine likes reading and writing. You know, we are so unique, wonderfully made, that God gives us all of these things and plants the seed of the word of God in our heart to be sown when it's his time, his season for us, so we can overflow. See, you can't make the word of God flourish within us if it's not your season, if it's not your time. Because when we look at the parable in Mark 4, God's speaking to us. If we don't understand that parable, we will not get any of the rest. When he says he's talking about the seed and the harvest time, who made the laws of harvest? God. Not man. Who made the laws of the seasons? God. Not man. Everything that man touches can be changed. Some person or whatever, you put anything out there, some person will change it in their own academic mind of humanity. We cannot change the harvest time. We cannot change the seed planting. We have to be willing to understand God's law is untouchable. His seasons, and we've seen this in the countryside, people trying to grow things under these solar panels, right, on this island somewhere, and they're making it because they wanted to produce the fruit. But do you know what they're doing? They're actually, when they get rid of the solar panels, they're just throwing them anywhere. They're destroying the place where they live. So our planting time, our seeds, our sowing, our reaping are all God's doing. Okay, it's not ours. We cannot force it. We cannot push it. We can want it earnestly. We can come seeking him face to his face in the word of God and be soaked in it. But it's his timing, his purpose, his plan, his provision for us in his timing to flourish us. So, you know, the fruit of our heart can be shown to others. You know, we have to allow the fruit of our heart to be shown to others. When it's in his timing, you know, Paul writing to Galatians in chapter 1 verse 12 tells them, "For neither did I receive it from man, nor I was taught it, but it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Your unique walk has to come from the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. It cannot come through our own doing, how we do things. We have to be humbly coming and wanting the Spirit to fill us in our season, in our time. Only this Holy Spirit searches deeper things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10, can bring about realization in our darkest minds and hearts. This is why when we're called spiritual, it means understanding. Spirit giving means the Spirit understanding. I keep on saying that Emma and Hayden when we do the foundation, don't come at this with your academic minds. You can't. It's a spiritual journey. We are filled with the force and the power of the Holy Spirit to live life in abundance, to share what we have through God to other people and not keep it within ourselves, you know. We must seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to be seeking, studying His Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates. Right? It's the Holy Spirit that jumps off those precious gems and seeks within us, in our heart. So our hearts are being prepared like the soil of the harvest. He's ploughing them. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes it's not nice. He's ploughing the hearts for the seed to be put in there. Right? And this seed will not bear fruit till it's in God's season, till it's in God's timing, till it's when He makes the fruit appear in my heart. So if you're struggling at any time, go earnestly to the Word. Go earnestly to God in prayer and worship and feed. Come to our Bible studies. Come to our foundation. Because we have been privileged and given to share what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. You know, we wouldn't be anything if we just sat back and kept it all. But we need to share. You know, the Spirit gives us understanding. Only the Spirit gives us knowledge. Only the Spirit gives us courage. Only the Spirit is the right judgment. And wonder and awe, and wisdom and reverence and respect. It's only through the Spirit of God that we can have all these things. You know, Isaiah, God gave him the Spirit to preach these words. You know, I've been doing a study on the garments. Wonderful, wonderful. God gave the Spirit to these people, the artistry, to make the garments. Because they hadn't done it before. They didn't go to college. They didn't go to college and learn how to be a dressmaker or anything like that. God provided the Holy Spirit. Gave them everything. Gave them the colours. Gave them the thread. Gave them in abundance. What He's given us is to be used wisely, with understanding, with courage, with the right judgment, with wonder and awe and wisdom and reverence and respect. So we can then come alongside other people and overflow the living water that God has given each and every one of them. You know, the parable of the sower is unlocking God's word. You know, it's very, very... Don't think about it in the human terms. We have to think about it in the spiritual. When we understand that, we understand the seed that has been planted within our hearts to be nurtured, to be given water, to be just given the life that it's needed. You know, when it says people who come to God for a couple of days and then they just go. Because I think, well, nothing's happened, nothing's doing, I'm just going. I'd rather live a life right there. And then they go on and they're choked by the word of God. You know, some people come and just want to live in the world and it violently chokes them. It, you know, it strangles them because it's so pure and so rich and so wonderful. It actually, you know, chokes them. So the spiritual word that we're having today is the seed of our hearts, right? He's ploughing it, He's preparing it for the fruit to come, but in His season. You know, we all have them. Don't lie them dormant. I don't know how long you've been walking. A lot of you with the Lord would have a check. Go back. Have a purpose. Have a plan. Have a provision. Understand where God is taking you. Have you lost that? What He's taking you from to where you are now? You know, we can always put garbage in. We speak garbage out. Put the word in. Soak in it. Earnestly seek Him. And you know, God is faithful. He builds us up. He encourages us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is the one that gives us all we need. Do we give Him our best? Do we? Honestly? You know, it cannot change. God's word cannot change. You know, the seed of the word of God in your heart is there long before, isn't it? The fruit of the harvest. It's planted in long before. So when we're witnessing to people, when we're talking about God and our testimony, you know, God's prepared some of the hearts. We can bang outside and declare who we are in Christ. It's only when the hearts have been prepared by the Holy Spirit that seed would germinate. So if you're talking to somebody, giving testimony, and you're wanting them and wanting them to know God, leave it. The seed is there. God will flourish and give the fruit in time, in his season. We cannot be banging on and using energy, using time, when we have been given such wonderful gifts that are nourished, that are watered, that are fed. So please, don't go on banging doors out of comments. Be who you are in Christ. Live in that moment. Live as Christ has prepared you to be. But understand where you are in him. Don't have the negativity of the world around you. Don't let other people speak negative over you. So just send it back to where it belongs, to the pit of hell, in Jesus' name. Because when that seed of doubt goes in my mind and it gets manifested and bigger, you think, am I worthy? Am I really a child of God? Does God really love me? Has he got a purpose, a plan for me? Does he provide for me? Yes, because without that, we have nothing. We have got a fruitful life in God when his season is ready for us. And it's called endurance. It's called having the assurance in him. Not giving up. You know that wonderful picture of climbing that step to get to the mountain, to reach over. Yes, we'll get weary on those steps. Yes, we'll get tired. We might take a few steps back. No, we might even fall off. But who picks it up and takes it up on the step? Who puts it on the shoulders? Who takes it up that wonderful mountain to see when we believe and have no understand the purpose and the plan of provision in our lives? We have to really understand it to grow in it. You know, we can't just say, well, I've got it and do nothing. You know, be careful what messages go in, feed your mind. Be careful of these preachers on the TV. Be careful what we hear. Go and study it. If it isn't, it doesn't line up with the word of God, it is not God. Right? It has to, scripture has to back up scripture. The Holy Spirit resides where the word is. It doesn't just come out of anywhere. The Holy Spirit resides where the word of God is. Where Jesus is the word, the Holy Spirit resides. Where Jesus resides, the Father resides. We are collectively in the three in one. No, we have to understand none of them do anything without each other. It has to line up with prophecies told, with dreams told, with things that God's given us in his love letter for all of us to nourish us. He wants that intimate relationship with us. You know, the divine energy of the Holy Spirit is a seed in each and every one of us. Being willing to just let grow. We sometimes suppress that. We keep it down. You know, we don't water it. We don't feed it. We step into the world. We step into our flesh mode. We don't come back and check. I encourage you to check today. Purpose, plan, provision. Have an overhaul of your spiritual walk with God. Come back to him. And really, you know, earnestly pray. Earnestly worship. Earnestly seek the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And only then will the season for the word to overflow in you will come. And that's the fruits. Right? The fruits that we can give people in our lives. When that ploughing has been done, when the soil's good, when you're grounded and firm in him, please today, I want to thank you for listening to us and just being my word, my love for Lord is just overwhelming. And what he's done in me, it's him. This is not me. The Holy Spirit and the journey we've both been on together has been hard. I'm not telling you it's been easy because it's not. But the endurance, the assurance, and the love we have for Christ in everything that we do is there. So please, just today, sometime this week, step back. Find out who you are in him so you can flourish the fruits in Jesus' name. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your wondrous word, Lord, for your seed. But you've been ploughing my heart, Father. Because when it's right, Lord, you are such a faithful God. Lord, you have given us all things, provision of all things. Your purpose, your planning, your provision, Father. For us to go out there, live who we are in you, Father. Believe it, live it, declare it and share it. with everyone and where we are, Father. Lord, let us not just bring you out on a Sunday. Lord, let us be the light and the salt in the community, Father God. Your salt preserves us. Your word preserves us, Father God, for your season, for your time. So Lord, as we come to close the service today, Lord, accept our very best. Lord, we humbly come to you and forgive, Lord, when we don't get it right. Lord, we repent, Father, in Jesus' name. Because only when we repent, Father, and get rid of the rubbish, Lord, that your seed will grow, Father. Lord, hear our words in the name of Jesus. Amen.